Yo, dude, what up? I bet you look in the mirror every day and ask yourself, self, why aren't I subscribed to a Patreon that discusses pop culture featuring prehistoric animals? Well, guess what? You can be at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for both my shows, The Ritwit and Paleobites. For the Paleobites bonus content, just like you always wanted, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. All your dreams have come true. This month, we're talking about Dinotopia, The World Beneath, the second big extravagant picture book in the Dinotopia franchise. Oh, it's great stuff. So beautiful. Such beautiful artwork. It is my personal favorite out of all of them. Got some great stuff, and it's so cool. A lot of cool stuff. It's really great. Link is in the description for you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a lovely day.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Hello.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast more divisive than Pangaea becoming Laurasia and Gondwana. My name's Matthew Dahl, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, in the studio, for the first time, even though he's been on this show since its inception, it's Stephen Curro. How are you?
Hello, everyone. So happy to be here, and I must say, this studio is so awesome.
Isn't it cool?
Finally able to get here.
It's like a real podcast.
Right?
Yeah, like this place does like a community update, like every weekly thing. It's like new episodes from the community, and my stuff's on there. Ah!
Woohoo!
So cool.
I mean, I grew up watching Frasier.
Oh,
and
I don't know if we're that sophisticated yet.
Well, no, we're not there yet. But I mean, it's just that I remember growing up and watching him in his recording studio for his show. And
yeah, I was gonna say, that
sort of kind of reminds me of it.
Well, that was back in radio times, too. See, the nice thing about podcast times, well, some people don't like to edit podcasts, but due to my stutters and me constantly going, whatever, and collecting my thoughts, I edit a lot of these.
Well, honestly, I would stumble over it a lot myself.
Yeah, exactly. Knowing that it's live and people are listening to it right now. I actually tried college radio at one point when I was in college. It was intense. But this I can edit in all mishaps, which reminds me I need to silence my phone so it doesn't ring and I don't have to edit that out. If you want to swear, go ahead and swear, because I have a new Velociraptor swear sensor thing. Have I shown you that before?
Yes, you have.
Yeah. For any case, let's see, a dinosaur-related question I can ask you before we start. Man. So I just told you about the new scene coming up in Jurassic World Dominion.
Yeah.
Yeah, where we're actually finally going back to dinosaur times for the first time in the series.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah. So if you could, what animal would you like to see in it? Animal would you like to be in that scene the most?
Ooh.
Would you like there to be in that scene the most?
I do kind of want to see the original Velociraptor.
Yeah.
I also kind of want to see the original Stegosaurus. I mean,
okay.
I don't know if they're going to show the Jurassic, but
no, it's just Cretaceous creatures. It is
okay,
Cretaceous
fine.
All over, kind of like there's a T-Rex and a Giganotosaurus fight, but
right.
But, so that's not, yeah, but it's a movie, so whatever. You know, I had this thought that like most times when we go back to dinosaur times in a big movie like this or something, it's usually meant for kids. Like,
usually,
because like what you need to be back in dinosaur times is either talking dinosaurs as the main characters or time travel, and both of those are inherently kiddie sort of things for a lot of people. So,
for the most part, yes,
yeah. And so, if it's like, and that's when it's entertainment based, I mean, like Walking with Dinosaurs doesn't count because it is entertainment, but it's also a little educational,
kind of educational, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Nowadays, less so, but
there's also Dinosaur.
Yes.
But that's also entertainment, so.
And it's for kids, again. So the point is, when they mix and match creatures from different eras, it kind of is more forgivable if it's a kid's thing.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. Like with Land Before Time.
Yeah,
complete,
exactly.
Wildly inaccurate in terms of species together, but it's a kid's movie.
It is a kid's movie. And to be fair, the movie was accurate, and I've said this before on the show a lot, the movie was accurate in terms of when the dinosaurs it did depict, their designs were accurate.
That's true.
Like, back... Like, I,
back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think I've definitely told this on the show before, but for any repeat listeners, Land Before Time is the first dinosaur movie to correctly have the long necks have their tails perpetually off the ground. Because this is back when it was like, well, they dragged it everywhere.
Thank you, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas.
Yes. Anyway, so you want to see the Velociraptor and the Stegosaurus.
Yes, those are the two that immediately come to mind. If we're specifically thinking Cretaceous, Velociraptor, or maybe the Triceratops.
Ooh, that could be cool.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they could have a montage of it. Like, you just see these dinosaurs, and then a mosquito just keeps biting them. And then,
you know, that would be a good way to do it.
Yeah, so.
Get through all of the iconic dinosaurs. But
yes.
Then sneak in a few new ones, too, as well.
Yes, yes. Well, I've been told this Jurassic World Dominion one's going to have 7 new species for the franchise.
Excellent.
In the opening scene alone.
Good,
so,
good, 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 good.
So the ones that have been confirmed are Oviraptor, and Moros, and Quetzalcoatlus, and Giganotosaurus, and Dreadnoughtus, and...
I wonder if Moros is a very morose individual.
Ooh, good one.
Sorry, couldn't help it.
It was first described in 2019.
Oh, this is a very new one.
Very new one.
Okay, cool.
Like, in between, since the last Jurassic World movie came out, new one. So,
nice.
Good on them. Anyways, well, we're talking about a creature that is not in Jurassic World yet, although it's never going to be. They don't have any, other than the pterosaurs and the mosasaurs, they don't have any prehistoric non-dinosaurs back yet. Hmm. They haven't brought mammoths back yet.
You know, it's surprising that InGen didn't try to, you know, they're toying with dinosaurs all the time. They didn't try some other prehistoric creatures.
Well, you know, this new one is rumored to, actually, I think it's confirmed, Biosyn is going to be the villains in it.
This is the other company that that was
and
behind
Dachshund is coming back, as in Dachshund, we got Dachshund here.
They actually got Dachshund.
Although
I'm really interested.
Yeah, although it's a new actor, because the actor that played him in Jurassic Park has been revealed to be a sex predator. So, new actor.
Oh, no.
So.
Well, thank God he only appears in a very small scene in the first Jurassic
Park. He kind of looked like a douchebag.
Yeah,
because, he had, the sunglasses and the perpetual frown.
Well, I think he was supposed to be a schmuck.
Well, I know.
Of a character.
But so, schmuck in real life. Maybe he's method acting. No, don't go that far.
Well, it's just that with.
Ever
since I heard about Kevin Spacey, I can't watch Baby Driver anymore.
Well, and that movie came out right when the allegations happened.
I know.
Like, that movie got outdated so quick.
I loved that movie, too. It was so cool, and he has such a big role in it. Anyway, I'm glad that the same thing won't happen with Dachshund, because it's just a small, tiny role.
Exactly. You can just kind of avert your eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have the movie memorized at this point. And also... I mean, think about it this way. Like, not only does he only have a short scene, but he doesn't get his way in that movie because Newman.
That's what you get for hiring Newman.
Yeah, he lets all the DNA just kind of fall in the shaving can and gets eaten by a Dilophosaurus. So.
Actually, there's a Jurassic Park computer game that explores what happens to that computer.
Is it Jurassic Park the game?
Yes.
Okay.
So you know what I'm talking about.
But not to be confused with Jurassic World the game, which is a mobile game.
Oh, yeah. Two very different things.
Oh, man. Okay, so anyways, we're not talking about anything from that series. We're talking about a mammal, specifically the biggest mammal that we know of in Mesozoic times, Rapenomammus.
Talk about a tangent.
Yes, I know. That just shows 90% tangents. It means reptile mammal or reptilian mammal is what the Rapenomammus means.
Reptilian mammal.
Yes.
So, because he ate reptiles?
Well, there's more reasons that we get into here. Like, more specifically, since it was such an early... Like, this was pre-placental mammals. So there is a distinct chance it might have laid eggs.
Oh,
and not laid eggs like in a monotreme way. Like, just this was before mammals started, you know, using placentas. So this is a non-monotreme egg-laying mammal, potentially.
Potentially. Okay, interesting.
So, yeah, that's weird.
It's very bizarre to think of. You just don't... I mean, the closest that we have to those creatures are the monotremes.
Yes.
So,
which were quite diverse back then, too. So there were monotremes back then. It's just this was not one of them. Well, what it was, though, was a gabiconodontid.
Interesting.
A family of pre-placental mammals from the mid-Jurassic to the late Cretaceous.
Huh.
So this is a group of mammals that did not, that also died to the meteor. Size, here's the biggest mammal dinosaur times, 3.3 feet/1 meter long.
For dinosaurs, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, 26 to 31 pounds, 12 to 14 kilograms. Now, that's way less than a dog weighs, but 3.3 feet is about the size of, like, a medium-sized dog, right?
I mean, yeah, I would say so. I mean,
like, my parents have a dog who's so cute and so smart, and he's a mutt. I think he's about 3.5 feet long.
Wait, what was the weight again?
He's way heavier than this, but the weight is 26 to 31 pounds. That's what I have.
26 to 31.
That's a skinny dog, if it's that.
That's actually around what my dog, my golden doodle Nell, weighs.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so imagine, for you specifically, listeners, imagine whatever dog that is. And so, diet, carnivore. Time, early Cretaceous, 127 to 123 million years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Location, China. Described in 2000. So this is a 21st century one. Pop culture appearances. There was a brief appearance of them in the Korean dinosaur film The Dino King. Have you seen this? It's on Netflix.
No, I'll have to look that up.
Okay. It's mainly just entertainment based. It's not, it's back in dinosaur times, but
it counts.
Yeah, like
it's an appearance.
They have a lot of cool dinosaurs, but they kind of mix and match. Like it's a Tarbosaurus and a T-Rex together, and like there's a Rapinomammus, and then there's Therizinosaurus, and there's
okay.
Mosasaurus. It's kind of all over. But
well, there is a certain book series that I know of where this creature appears. What's it called again?
Oh, yes. It's also in my book, Megazoic, The Primeval Power, where I deliberately oversized them a bit, and only just a bit, though, and made them a lot scarier for the shock value of having a swarm of mammals eating armed dinosaurs.
Exactly.
So, like, the villain in my second book, Megazoic, The Primeval Power, she knows how scared people are of dinosaurs are of the mammals. Like they're kind of how we are of insects. Like they're too different. They're too weird.
They're also, just so weird, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So she exploits that by taking the Rapinomammus, which is normally, you know, a preys upon like small baby dinosaurs or lizards or whatever, and trains them to hunt together and attack on command, so which means they can swarm an armed dinosaur.
Exactly. I mean, sorry if this is spoilers, but
yes.
I mean, Olajax, who was one of my favorite characters, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
He's a big Giganotosaurus, and he gets taken down by these things in the end.
Yes.
Which
Spoiler alert. Yes.
Spoiler.
So you did say, I don't know if this is a spoiler. You just said a flat out spoiler.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'll keep it in.
You know what I meant.
That was most definitely a spoiler. And also, he was like the villain that was kind of funny, too. So
right.
He was
the comedy relief.
Yeah. So I had him killed off in what TV Tropes calls the sudden sequel death syndrome.
Oh.
Where, in order to show just how truly heinous this villain is, you have him kill off the previous villain.
Okay, that makes sense.
Even though he's a lackey of the previous villain, and if we're spoiling the book.
We're just spoiling the whole thing at this point.
She's actually not that bad. You find out why later, though.
So. Right. She's being manipulated by someone even worse.
Even worse. And that one's the final one. Or is it? Yeah. Okay.
But anyway.
But yeah, so.
I just love how you have a dinosaur who's commanding an entire group, an entire army of mammals, sort of like they're the evil watchdogs.
Yes, exactly. And they're,
except they're not dogs.
They're not dogs. They're, if anything, they're rodents of unusual size, even though they're not rodents. I do call them
vaguely like rodents. I have the book here.
Yeah.
It sort of looks like a crazy possum or maybe a Tasmanian devil with a long tail. And he has
a baby Sitakosaurus.
That's it.
Yeah.
Baby Sitakosaurus. I can never pronounce
jaws.
That name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Sitako. The P is silent, like pterosaur.
Right.
Okay. It means parrot lizard. In fact, I think my cockatiel, you know, her scientific name is Sitakus something, nymphicus, I think, or something like that.
Oh.
I think.
Hmm.
Anyways. So mammals during the Mesozoic were quite small, and Rapinomammus was no exception. But in terms of Mesozoic mammals, Rapinomammus was a giant. It was a full meter in length, like a medium-sized dog, like we said, making it the biggest mammal that we know of in dinosaur times. On top of this, fossils have been found with baby Sitakosaurus in its stomach. So that picture there of it eating the baby Sitakosaurus is not just artistic license.
No,
we have literally found evidence of Sitakosaurus bones in its stomach. Meaning this mammal actually preyed on certain small dinosaurs. How crazy is that?
Very crazy.
You would assume the mammals are the one getting eaten by the dinosaurs. But this instance, the dinosaurs are the ones getting eaten by the mammals.
Exactly. The mammals get their revenge. I remember I used to have this book called After the Dinosaurs, which
yes.
talked all about rise of mammals and blah, blah, blah. And it briefly touches on dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that it talked about how the mammals were so small and insignificant and all they could do was hide.
Right.
And I mean, sure, that was largely true. Mm-hmm. But now that's not the case for all mammals anymore.
It's true. That's true, absolutely. And also, I just, one thing I really like in dinosaur fiction is when they manage to incorporate mammals into it, like big mammals, by some sort of time anomaly or some sort of other thing. Like, I think it's really cool, like, that's why the third Ice Age movie is my favorite, because you have these Ice Age creatures in with the dinosaurs, and there's
right,
a scene
right.
where a Smilodon, character takes on the Guanlong dinosaurs. That's so cool. Sabertooth cat.
So much fun, yeah.
It is fun, and like you have a weasel whose big nemesis is a giant Suchomimus.
Hello, Rudy.
That movie's on Disney Plus now, so I've been watching it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Like it when Manfred the Mammoth, he's like, I liked it better when you guys were extinct.
I love how knowledgeable these mammals are of prehistoric times. Like, they mentioned dinosaurs like in the second movie. Like, how do they know?
It's a good question.
The dinosaur first pops up to get its babies, and that like Ellie, Manny's mate, is like, aren't they supposed to be extinct? I'm like, how does she know?
Maybe they mammoths were the first paleontologists. I don't know.
Oh, yes. Well, it just seems to be common knowledge too. Like in the second movie, when they're talking about like maybe Manny's the last mammoth, that was that whole subplot there. He was like, mammoths can't go extinct. They're the biggest things on Earth. And then this bird, who is, it's funny because it's a bird, is like, well, what about the dinosaurs? And then Manny's like, the dinosaurs got cocky. They made enemies.
With an asteroid. No.
Yes. I think it's funny that the bird is the one that says, what about the dinosaurs?
I wonder, excuse me, I wonder if maybe they're passing down legends of dinosaurs.
Ooh, yes. Yes, indeed.
That and could be... I mean, isn't it in the fifth one, which I haven't seen?
Oh, the fifth one is ridiculous. Like they're all ridiculous, but that one just goes way off the rails.
But don't they have, like, pictographs of,
yes.
With the legend of the asteroid to hit and whatnot. Yep. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's how they...
Yep.
I'm grabbing for straws here.
Well, they also have magnetic asteroids that emit purple glows and like...
Sure, why not?
Yeah, like, it's pretty crazy. Somehow they had Neil deGrasse Tyson as an astronomical consultant on that movie. I don't know if they listened to him. Anyways, I bring this up, though, as well as because, like, there's another one where, like, there's another instance in the Skull Island book from the 2005 King Kong movie.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so the world of Kong, Natural History of Skull Island, one of the, there's a lot of dinosaurs and other sort of creatures there, but one of the other mammals that's on there, rather than just Kong, is a descendant of the aurochs.
Mm.
And it's gotten bigger and meaner to try and combat. So, like, there's a illustration in this book of it, like, kind of warding off the venatosaurs, which are the raptors that hunted the brontosaurs in the movie. So that's just kind of cool to imagine these dinosaurs hunting this mammal and the mammal kind of fighting back.
I'm not going down without a fight.
Yeah. And an auroch probably would be able to take on some raptors. So even maybe those big, scary Skull Island ones.
Which is the aurochs again?
A-U-R-O-C-H-S. It's not
quite... Oh, you mean like the cat, auroch. Yeah, like the cow.
Yeah, yeah.
I always thought it was auroch.
Okay, well, auroch then.
We'll verify
that. Aurochs ends in ox, so that's fine.
It's true. It's a big cow. Yes.
Yeah, so this is like a big cow. Yeah. Anyway, Rapanomammoth had what's called an epipubic bone, which sounds kind of dirty, but it's a pair of bones projecting forward from the pelvic bones.
Mm.
The point of this is that marsupials and monotremes have these bones, but placental mammals lack them.
Oh, interesting.
So
the show, it's sort of like the tail bones.
Yeah, yeah.
In relation to us.
Yeah. Well, it's like This means that Rippamamus was either a marsupial, a monotreme, or some other group of mammals that has no modern descendants. Mm-hmm. Either it laid eggs or had underdeveloped young, like a marsupial. So.
Right, right. So we just don't know as of yet.
No, no.
And which is interesting.
The sad thing about these things, like, we don't know as of yet. There's such a high chance that we'll never know.
According to the book that I have here, mm-hmm. It is known from complete specimens with soft parts and fur impressions.
Yes. Ooh, fur impressions.
Yes.
Is it one of those prehistoric mammals where we've happened to figure out the color of it?
It doesn't say.
Then again, like most, I don't know if fur really shows that, to be fair. Like, one of the reasons why we know the colors of certain Ice Age mammals is because of the cave paintings.
Right. Because that, well, I think fur, I mean, unless it's bleached in the sunlight, it should keep until it disintegrates. So, like, mammoths, we know mammoths were, you know, brownish.
Yeah.
I mean, I have some mammoth fur at home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's cool. The fossil show.
But, like, that's so cool. But I know, like Megaloceros, the giant Irish elk, we know it is brown with a white belly because it is consistently drawn that way in cave paintings.
Oh, well, there you go.
So.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, to kind of know, like, how that is.
Ancient artists for the win.
Yeah, exactly.
With as far as Rippamamus goes, I think it's just the fur impressions. So I don't know. Like, we have an idea of what the fur coat looked like texture-wise, but not color.
Okay.
As of yet.
Okay, cool. Anything else in that book? Because I actually wrote. Okay, so a little peek behind the curtain, listeners. We've been planning these episodes for a long time because we were going to record these pre-COVID, and then COVID happened.
That blasted virus.
So I don't have a lot of stuff in the body of this like I do a lot of other things. So
the book comments that Rippamamus had a massive, hulking body, a long tail and snout, and robust, sprawling limbs.
Yes.
With large hands and feet that were...
And based on that
picture... Plantain grade.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, based on that picture, it looks like its arms are a lot bigger than its legs, right?
Yes, I would agree. Like, the arm is long, and then the leg is just like a giant hindquarter, and then a little leg.
So, you know, like, how, like... how often Cerberus is drawn in Greek mythology. You know, obviously, you know, to balance the large heads.
Right,
The three large heads, they often have big, bulky arms and little bitty legs. And that's kind of how it looks there, but without the three heads, of course.
There is a picture of the skeleton here.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I guess they're guessing that with the back end of the animal, there's like a huge tuft of muscle or fur in relation to the back leg. But the leg bones are different sizes from the front and the back for sure.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So, yeah. It's interesting that it says that that they had a long tail because I've also seen a lot of depictions with it without a long tail. But it looks like based on that picture of the skeleton, we have skeleton of it with the...
Oh, wait a minute. Forget everything I just said about that skeleton, because apparently that was the skeleton of a different mammal.
Whoa, okay.
Okay, this page, I don't like the way this page is organized.
Okay, so what mammal is that? So we can talk about it in a future episode.
Apparently that's Jeholodons.
Okay, and listeners, get ready for the Jeholodons episode.
It must be related to Rippamamus, because Rippamamus is here with eating the Cetacrosaurus
right.
on the bottom.
But look at that. It doesn't have that long of a tail, does it? Or I guess it's long. And so does the 3 feet count for the tail? Because if so, that makes it a lot smaller, actually.
3 feet count for the tail. I would say usually with animals, they don't include tail length. They'll say such and such. Plus tail length.
Well, for mammals specifically, like dinosaurs, it's a little different because
they don't do that with dinosaurs. Yeah,
because like,
but like with a tiger.
Apatosaurus is only 20 feet long. Wait, what? Oh, we're not including the tail or the neck.
Exactly. Right.
All right. Okay. So that's cool. Anyways, well, let's rate it 1 out of 65 million. Everyone's favorite part of the show. So
I'm gonna give him. I'm going to give him a 55 million.
55 million? Yeah, that's about what I was thinking.
He was scrappy.
Scrappy and cool and took on dinosaurs. Like baby dinosaurs for sure, but you still have to get past a mother to do
he
that.
He fought for the name of all mammals. So.
Yes. He was a predecessor. He was a precursor to what is to come.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was like one of these days, let's see, 127 million years ago. So it was like 62 million years later, something big's going to happen. We're going to come back, guys. We're playing the long game.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. Well, if you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact us at mattd@matthewdaltoncreator.com for any general questions to either co-hosts. You can subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. We got a new patron!
Whee!
Yeah, thank you very much, Alexis R. So
awesome. Thank you.
Yes. also, I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle, which we have discussed. Does very much include Repentomamus.
Excellent. So. Yeah.
About you? Plug yourself. Yes.
So. I am a writer and a poet. I have my own website, stephenccurrow.com. That's Stephen with a PH, please, not a V. And I've published multiple short stories and poems. And most excitingly, supposed to be at the end of June, I'm going to have a novelette published with Heareth Publishing. It's called The Spark. It's a sci-fi dystopia story.
It's a really good story, too. I've read it. It's great. That's it for this week. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleobites, what kind of thing would this make?
I don't know. Maybe like a hiss.
All right. Bye.
Goodbye.